Blog Talk Radio.
That there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it. And embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you plan them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love, and pay attention. Carried me to safety, knowing that I go back to the same place again and again. Lord, no one could ever love me the way that you do. In spirit, mind, and body, I surrender myself daily to you. Oh, and I just want to testify. I gotta testify. I just wanna testify. Oh, amazing grace saved my life. So sweet the journey when you learn to love yourself, accept yourself, forgive yourself, believe in yourself, be yourself. With amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't regret a single yesterday, because yesterday made me who I am today.
Talk about trust in your struggles. Come on, God. Do your stuff. Trust in your struggles. That divine storm, yes. It only comes to teach us lessons. Let's get ready and turn with that, recognizing that there is only one problem, one presence. And on this line, we recognize that grace spirit that is known by many, many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present. Knowing that there is not, come on, Holy Spirit, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So together, family, let's prepare ourselves to breathe and call in that divine presence this morning. that one power, collective energy. And so in this right now moment, I want to remind you that there is power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe. I want to remind you to bring in that breath right now, Father God. And take in that deep breath by breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. And then release the breath, remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. And so in this right now moment, I want you to, by being still, know that I am God. Breathe. Do it again, family. Let's breathe. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Breathe. Let's be still. Know that I am God. Breathe. Release. Thank you, Father. Mother God. Let's breathe again, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, sometimes we forget to breathe, family. I want you to breathe. Let's go. And release. And as we pull in the energy of all that is good in this right now moment, thanking God for all that is, remembering that everything begins within. And in this right now moment, I want you to call forth that divine spirit, asking it to renew every cell in your body. Cleanse every cell and every molecule and every atom. Holy Spirit, come and cleanse the mind and our hearts this morning as we release and forgive ourselves for things we have no understanding.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today. believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the opportunity to release ourselves from judgment, God, from the guilt and the shame of all the things that we thought was bad. But today, Father God, we release our judgment, knowing that everything that has happened, what was done, is happening for us and not to us, that it helps to create a better understanding of who and what we are in this right now moment. God, help us to release right now any judgment, any thoughts, any guilt, or any shame surrounding any choices that we made when we were not in our right mind, of knowing that we were truly abundant, God, truly filled with the spirit of all that is, God, when we gave away our power, not understanding who we were and whose we were. Father God, I just give thanks right now, Holy Spirit, that you bless our thoughts right now, God, that our thoughts will be your thoughts, God, that you will bless our heart, God, and open our hearts to receive all the goodness of you in ways that we cannot imagine, God. I just thank you right now, God, for helping us to release and see that everything is good and very good. And so, God, we give thanks for the knowing that we are made in your image and your likeness. Say it. Amen. Thank you, God. Ooh, good morning. Good morning, family. You tuned in to the Love Journey. And I tell you, God is amazing. God is amazing. We're going to start off with the song Rain on Us by Joshua Rogers. And then we're going to get right into today's message, Trust the Struggle. This is Joshua Rogers right here on The Love Journey. You tuned in with Janine and Ingram. Joshua Rogers.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts. We need you to surround us in this place. Bring new life within us. Send a refreshing, Lord. Saturate our hearts. Within me.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Joshua Rogers. Rain on us, rain on us, God, rain on us. Yes. Oh, man, that just, every time I hear that song, I just want to shout. I just want to give God the glory. I just want to just, like, when I, you see, I grew up in a sanctified church family, and it don't matter how much you grow, how and where you go, you always got to come back to your roots. I'm telling you, when the spirit got filled in it, ooh-wee, and that's how I felt just listening to that song, filled with the spirit, ready to do the Holy Ghost dance, thanking God for this amazing day, knowing that there is nothing, nothing I can do. Because I got Christ in me that strengthens me. And I can do all things in Christ this morning. And I want to remind you that right now, we can do all things in Christ that strengthens us. Somebody came this morning because they felt a little weary. Somebody might be going through something this morning in their finances. But I want you to know, you might be going through something in your relationship, your children, your marriage, or whatever. But I come to tell you today that God said it is over. Your struggles are over. And just give God the glory this morning. Just trust in the divine process, knowing that God is all that God is. And let's just trust in God's promises this morning. You know, the world tells us to count it all joy. Count it all joy. How hard is it this morning to really think about count it all joy? Can you imagine just counting all joy and trusting that no matter what happened, that God got you? Can we really understand what that really feels like to trust the process of the unknown? Well, I come to tell you today that everything that is happening and has happened is happening for us. You know, Albert Einstein said it best. He said that the universe was friendly to our desires. What does that really mean, though? What does that really mean? That means trust. And no matter what's happening, that God still has us. That God is on that throne. Still. And sometimes it don't feel good, girl. Honey, I know. It don't feel good. But I want you to know today that if we trust that these dots that we're creating, their path is all coming together. It's all coming together. I told you yesterday that I listen to so much motivation around motivational speeches. I listen to preachers. I listen to speakers. I listen to different ministers from different religions. I just love to hear perspectives and different things. And so I was listening to TED Talks the other day, and this one particular TED Talk that I was listening to, I wanted to share with us because I thought, wow, can we really trust the struggle? And then that's what we're going to talk about. Can we really trust the struggle? Do we really believe that these storms that are happening are really divine? That's a lot to believe and think in, that all this stuff that I'm going through is really a divine process. Can we really believe there's nothing to heal, only God to be revealed? What does that really mean, right? When we think about that, what does that mean? That wherever we find that process that's going on in our life, that's the place where we need to have God be revealed in our life the most, whether it's our finances, our relationship, our money. It's all divine to get our attention so that we can pay attention to where the universe, the Most High God, however we call this amazing energy, where is it calling us to? You know, I believe that in this time right now, particularly those that are on this line, and especially those that have been on this week, it's about calling you deeper. It's about seeing yourself in a deeper understanding of God. And that's the place that we really need to stop and say, okay, how can I see God in this right now moment? How can I trust that the Spirit has led me to this point right now and that it's not going to leave me nor forsake me? How can I trust in that right now moment? So many times we get caught up in the seemingly appearances of what's happening. And then we lose our thought processes, who and what we are in God. But I come to tell you today, these divine storms are only here to help us, build us, make us stronger. You see, nobody can do what you've been called to do. Nobody on this planet can do what you've been called to do. Only you. And that's the thing. Are you really ready to do, to give up all of the ideas of, that you've been believing and know? And know without a shadow of a doubt. I just want you to think about that. Can I really trust that this struggle, this process that I'm in right now is calling me higher? It's making me better. Can you really trust that? Can you really own it? So today I just want you to think about that. I want you to think about that as I get ready to, for some reason, this is my plan. And you know how you're so excited for somebody to hit something and then it won't work? I just don't understand technology sometimes. But, you know, even in that, we know that's divine order, right? We know that everything is always in divine order, even when it don't feel right. Like, you know, you want things to go the way you want it to go, and God's saying, well, I'm calling you to do something different, and you don't want to let go because you're married to the idea how you had it. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. Well, I just wanted it to go this way, God. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, are we really being obedient when things are showing us that it doesn't want to work? But see, you know, like me, I don't want to give up. I'm like, okay, God, okay, you got to do it this way. And sometimes I have to stop and breathe and go, okay, Holy Spirit, what is this fork in the road? And then I have to hear, does it mean for me to stop doing it this direction? Or is the universe telling me to keep going and want to see how much perseverance I have? And that's why being still is one of the most important things we can do. Because in that being stillness, we can hear the word. We can hear God. We can hear our GPS system. We can hear our energy, our still small voice saying, go this direction, do this And sometimes it's not that audible, and sometimes we don't hear anything. And that's the time when we really wonder. I remember one time when I didn't understand that. My God, I'm not hearing my prayers. God, what's going on? Everything I used to touch used to turn to gold. What happened, Holy Spirit? And I had to know that sometimes God is calling us to be patient. That's a big word. A big word. Being patient. Being patient, because we want what we want when we want it. And guess what? Each generation is getting more into that. I mean, because think about all our technology. Our technology has gotten us to the point where we microwave our food. We even got these new things where it's not microwave, but it's some kind of air cook, and it cooks our food and everything. You can put all your items in there, and your food is done with some kind of aeration in a matter of seconds. So I just want you to know today, sometimes God operates in a microwave minute second, and sometimes the universe is calling us to be still more. And so I want you to listen to this. This is called Trust Your Struggle.
Hello, everyone. My name is Zane Asher, and I'm an anchor at CNN International. I'm super proud to say that I have my dream job. I wake up every day and I am so excited to go to work. But my life wasn't always this way, and I do want to share a little bit about my background to help hopefully motivate and inspire some of you. So I'm an anchor at CNN International now, but about four and a half years ago, I was working as a receptionist. And the reason why I share that is because I want to let you know that success is never really in a straight line. There's always going to be bumps along the way. So for the longest time in my life, I always believed that hard work was the key to success. I thought, you know what, if you work hard, of course you're going to be successful. But now I realize that there is so much more to the story. There are plenty of people who work hard who don't necessarily make it in their chosen careers. There are plenty of people who are extraordinarily talented, who know the right people, who are well-educated, who don't necessarily make it. So if it's not always hard work, then what then determines whether you're going to be successful? As I attempt to answer this, I want to share with you a little bit about my life and my background. I was born and raised here in London. My family and I were originally from Nigeria. The worst and probably most difficult day in my life was September 3rd, 1988. I was about 5 years old. And my mother and I were in the kitchen in our house in London. We'd just gotten back from a wedding in Nigeria. And my brother and my father were still in Nigeria a few days after the wedding for a road trip, father and son road trip, and they were supposed to come home on September 3rd, 1988. So we were supposed to pick them up from the airport. And we were waiting and waiting, and I guess we assumed that they had missed their flight. We continued to wait, and we didn't hear anything. And then later on that day, my mother got a phone call from a family friend in Nigeria, and the voice on the other end of the line just basically said, you know, your husband and your son have been involved in a car crash. One of them is dead, and we don't know which one. So the car crash happened in Nigeria, and there was about five people in the car. Everyone in the car died instantly, apart from one person in the back seat where my father and my brother were sitting. It turned out to be my father who died. My mother was pregnant at the time. Of course, she was devastated because my parents were really the loves of each other's lives. So I was raised in a single parent family. For a while, my mother sent me to live in Nigeria by myself with my grandmother. When I came back, she decided that, you know, in life, if you want to be successful, you have to be able to relate to people from all walks of life. So she deliberately sent me to various types of schools. I went to school in Nigeria. I went to a state school in a poor neighborhood in South London. I went to a private school, and then I went to a boarding school. And this was on purpose, deliberately, because my mother felt that if you want to make it in life, you need to be able to relate to everybody. So when I was 16, I have a strict Nigerian mother, but when I was 16, she decided that she wanted me to go to Oxford. And she sat down and she thought, okay, how can I guarantee that my child is going to get into Oxford? What can I do to make that happen? And she thought about it for a few days, and she came up to me with a proposal, and she said that she was going to ban me from watching any television for 18 months. So I was only allowed to watch BBC and CNN International. If I wanted to watch anything else, I had to ask special permission for that. And then no television expanded into no phones, no cable, no music. I literally had nothing else to do but study. And my mother said to me, the only way, if you're living in my house, the only way you're ever going to be able to watch television again is if you get into Oxford. So, I mean, we laugh now, and it is funny, but, you know, her plan worked. I worked very hard. I got straight A's, and then I went to Oxford. So overall, I didn't necessarily have the easiest childhood. I was raised in a single-parent family. We didn't have much money. I changed schools constantly, therefore found it difficult to make friends. So I didn't have the easiest childhood, but I loved every minute of it because it prepared me for real life. As I mentioned, especially after having gone to Oxford, and I went to grad school as well in New York, Columbia, I really believed up until that point that hard work was the key to being successful. And now I realize there's a lot more to the story. I'm going to share with you what I think is more to the story. The first thing I believe is trust your struggle. This is something I'd heard a lot. Trust your struggle. And that means no matter what the hardships are you're going through in life, have faith that it will all end up being for the greater good. So I mentioned that four and a half years ago, I was working as a receptionist, and I was in a production company in California, and I was a receptionist, so I really wanted to sort of move up within the company. And no matter how hard I worked, I couldn't get promoted. No matter how many times I stayed late or came in on the weekends, hoping that my boss would notice me and promote me, it never happened. And in fact, for the position I wanted, they began looking for external candidates. I'm sure anyone who's been through that knows how that can be. And because I was a receptionist, it was my job to serve water to the people who were coming in to interview for the job that I wanted. I know. It wasn't easy. And so I didn't really necessarily feel good about myself because of that, and I did some soul searching, and I asked myself, okay, well, what do you really want to do in life? Because clearly this is probably not meant for you. What do you really want to do? And I'd always been passionate about broadcast journalism. So I called a television station in New York, a local news station, and I asked them, what do I need to do to get a job with you guys? So unfortunately, I didn't have any experience. They needed about 2 or 3 years previous experience as a reporter, and the only experience I really had was answering phones and sending faxes. That's all I really knew how to do. And so they said no repeatedly to me, and on top of that, I had a British accent. And in America, if you want to get into the local news business, it's very difficult if you have a foreign accent. It's a lot easier in national news, but certainly in local news, it's a lot harder. So they said no, and I decided I wasn't going to take no for an answer, so I basically called in sick to work, and I paid my roommate, my housemate, a few hundred dollars or whatever, and they helped me, they helped film me around Los Angeles, sort of acting like a reporter. I studied reporters inside out. I studied everything that they did inside out, and I put together various packages, which is sort of voiced over pieces that I learned basically from studying various reporters, and I sent it to this news station, hoping that they would give me a chance. Unfortunately, a lot of these news stations received thousands of applications, thousands of tapes, so it took them several months to get back to me. And during that time, the recession kicked in, and I lost my job. So there I was, no money, no job. So I decided anyway that I was going to move to New York and just hope that this one station would get back to me. So eventually, after emailing and pestering constantly, they eventually got back to me. They brought me in for an interview, and they were so impressed that even though I had no experience, that I'd put together this tape by myself showing what I could do, that they hired me on the spot. So, thank you. So that's why I say trust your struggle. The second thing I believe, and this sort of comes out of left field, is I honestly do not believe in competition. The corporate world will tell you that if you want to get ahead in life, you need to be competitive. You need to have that drive to succeed and compete with one another. But I don't believe in competing for what I want. I believe in creating what I want. Abraham Lincoln once said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. In order for me to be successful, I don't believe that I need to take anything away from anyone else. Now, Of course, you know, there are some advantages to looking at your peers for inspiration, definitely. But I think that having a competitive spirit, having that need for one-upmanship, and comparing yourself to other people again and again can actually bring out fears and insecurities that end up holding you back. So when I was interviewing for another position in CNN, the anchor job, I was sort of sat next to a girl who I was competing for the same job with. And rather than sort of not wish her well, I sat with her for hours and I helped her. I showed her what she could improve upon so she had just as good a chance of getting the job as I did. I went in for the screen test first. I came out and I told her everything they asked me and how she should prepare. So I don't believe in competition. I believe in creating what I want. I don't believe in competing for what's already been created. The third thing I honestly believe is to give, because it has become abundantly clear to me in life that the more you give, the more you receive. I learned this lesson from a woman named Kat Cole, who I interviewed for a story for CNN. She's a corporate CEO, and she started her career as a waitress at Hooters. Now, I don't know, I'm not sure, you guys laugh, but I'm not sure if people know what Hooters, I don't know if you have Hooters in England, but it's a restaurant chain in America where the waitresses are very scantily clad. And that's how she started off. And I was curious about the transition from going from that kind of environment, especially because she grew up poor and her mother saved $10 a week for food, to now being a CEO. And especially financially, I wanted to know what that was like for her. So she said she didn't really know what it felt like to have money, even though she was being well paid, because she still gives most of her money away to this day, because it was clear to her that the more you give in life, the more you receive. So this had a pretty deep impact on me, because I've interviewed a lot of CEOs for CNN, and I've interviewed a lot of founders for tech startups, some of whom have made millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And usually what they say is, you want to be successful, you need to network, you've got to have a brand, you've got to study your competition. And she had some practical advice as well, but certainly the moral of her story was that the more you give, the more you receive. And I can tell you that I've tried it, I've tested it, and I don't necessarily believe in giving just to receive, but she is right. The more you give, the more you receive. And the last thing I'm going to say, it is loosely related to hard work. And when I first heard this phrase, I thought it was such a cliche. I'd heard it so many times growing up. And that is, success comes when opportunity meets preparation. I'd heard that so many times, I thought it was a cliche. I never really paid attention to it. Only now do I realize how true that really is. I'll give you an example. So when I was in local news in New York, I really wanted to work my way up to get into national news. I'd always wanted to work for CNN since I was a teenager. And I realized, after studying different reporters and how they made it, I realized that it was crucial for me to have a specialty, some sort of expertise, something that I could do better than others, I guess. And so that could be anything from being a sports reporter to being a political reporter or a business reporter. And I was very passionate about business news. So while I was working in local news, I decided to study and teach myself business news, not necessarily because there was an opportunity coming my way or there was an interview that I was preparing for, but because I trusted that one day an opportunity would come and I needed to be ready. So every weekend, I went to the library. One weekend, I'd study stocks. The next weekend, I'd study bonds. The next weekend, derivatives. The next weekend, mergers and acquisitions, teaching myself. And in fact, the librarians on 33rd and Madison in New York got to know me very well, because oftentimes, I'd be the last person to leave. So after doing that for a few years, eventually, by pure chance, I happened to meet an executive at CNN. And I asked him which department he worked in. He said he ran the business news unit, and he was looking for a reporter. So when I met him, he gave me about 2 weeks to come in for a screen test and also for a financial news test as well. So in his mind, he felt guilty because he only had given me 2 weeks to prepare. But in my mind, I knew in my heart that I had been preparing for years. So this is a lesson as well that I'd learnt from my older brother. Some of you have already approached me about him, but my older brother is an actor. He starred in a movie that came out this time last year called 12 Years a Slave. He was nominated for an Oscar for Best Actor, and I'd learned this lesson from him. He is a master preparer. When he was 13 years old, he would lock himself in his room and write Shakespeare on the walls, and he would study and memorize various plays from Measure for Measure, Twelfth Night, Richard III, not because he had an audition coming up, but just in case, in a few years, an audition came his way, he wanted to be ready. It didn't matter how many times he had to do it. He did it again and again and again until he got it right. Most people wait until they get the call for a job interview before they begin to prepare, or they wait until they get the call for an audition before they begin to rehearse. But my brother taught me to prepare well before you get that call. So to sum up, I truly believe in trusting your struggle, knowing that the hardships you go through will somehow end up being for your own benefit. I also believe in turning a blind eye to competition. I believe in giving, and I believe in trusting and knowing that your opportunity will one day come. You just have to be ready. Thank you.
Wow. It was so many great nuggets in that for me. So I took a few notes, even though I've heard it over and over again. I know that each time you hear it, you hear things differently. Abraham Lincoln said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. That was like, wow, the best way to predict the future is to create it. Now, I want you to think about that. And why do we believe in competition? To compete, we have to create your future, create your life, create your today. Not compete, but create. I love that. That was a big one for me. Other than trust your struggle, somehow it's all coming together. And we don't always see that until we look back on the dots. So what is a divine storm? I call these divine storms that we have, those times in our lives where we feel like God is not listening, those times in our lives when, that period of time, it could be a day, a week, a month, years, an era, where it literally seems like the whole world, the entire universe, and God is against us. It's a time where everything seems to fall apart and there seems to be no way out, and it's a time of massive pain. Ultimately, divine storms come to clear out whatever's not a part of your next layer of growth. But depending on how stubborn you are, they can shake you up pretty bad. You see, the universe has shaken you to awaken you. It's not a punishment. Family, it's not punishment. It's all lessons. The universe shakens us to awaken us. The divine doesn't act according to our desires or our expectation. The divine knows us better than we know ourselves. It's sweet. Into the clean slate to force us to give up what we have not been willing to surrender. In other words, when we utter the phrase, thy will be done, expect that things are going to break loose. Chaos. I remember listening to Master when he talked about his process. When his divine storm came upon him, he said he thought things were already as bad as they could get. He was losing his business. He lost his best friend. He was back hooked on drugs, Adderall, but he didn't know the half of it. What was coming next would test every shred of his faith, he said. He said, I had in myself and in the divine, it tested myself and in the divine. He said, everything I had come to love in this new, what we call spiritual phase of his life, he said it was being taken from him. It was like God was pulling the rug out from under him for no reason. He said all these events was happening over the course of 1 week. This beautiful Buddhist girl that he was dating broke up with him. His best friend, John, who ended a business relationship. His company died. Love yourself. His roommate told him that he was moving out in 30 days. His initial investors in his business told him they had lost 70% of their wealth in the stock crash and recession. His lower back went out, and he then got the gout in his big left toe. Now, come on, y'all. He said it was the worst week ever he had. worse than all those years ago when he was on cocaine and drinking all the time and got fired. And when his business wasn't selling clothes, it was who he was. It was his identity. Not just his identity, he said, but it was his mission. He said it was the way he thought he was going to inspire the world and change the course of people's lives. In a matter of weeks, everything had changed. Everything was gone. He had no business, no girl, almost no money, and no place to live. The only thing he had was the debt of the gout boot. He said, try walking around L.A. in a geriatric ski boot and see how good you feel about yourself. He said he was spending more and more time at his hangout, the Golden Bridge Yoga, even with the gout. That week, he ran into the owner of the Golden Bridge, a woman named Grandma. She told him, according to Louise, hey, gout was all about the need for control. But what could I possibly be trying to control, he said, except the life that was falling apart at the seams. He said, I was in a full crisis mode. It was really scary. He said, it felt like God and the whole universe was against me. He said, so I quit the Adderall for good this time, loaded up on my Carolyn Miss spiritual power, spiritual practice meditation. He kept doing abundance meditations and hit the Kundalini yoga even harder. And one day, while listening to Carolyn, he had a momentary glimpse of an idea. What if this wasn't happening to me? But what if this was happening for me? He said, I don't remember where I read it, but he said, I remember saying to myself that your job is to say your prayer and then to see everything that happens after that as an answer to your prayer. I'm going to say that again. He said, I remember saying that your job is to say your prayer and then see everything that happens after that prayer as an answer to that prayer. So what if my divine storm was the answer to my deepest prayer? What if my life coming around me wasn't a punishment, but an act of pure love? Could that actually be true? It seemed crazy to think. I felt so lost, so abandoned, and so alone, and I just wanted to turn back, but a glimmer of hope had been sparked. This really is happening to shift me into a better and greater person of myself. How do I learn to trust in my struggle and in divine storm and know that no matter what's happening, that I can count it good? No matter what's going on, that I can still count it good? No matter how things are looking, I can still count it good? No matter what's happening, that I was born to win and that I can't lose with my spiritual tools? How can I still see this as God pushing me into a greater version of myself? So I come today to remind you, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening, look it in his eyes. Come face to face with the pain and the divine storm and tell him how big your God is. And no matter what, you're going to keep on praising. You're going to keep on praising no matter what it looks like, no matter how it looks like, no matter when God comes through. You know God is never late. And you know God is going to show up for you, just like God has in every story we tell. Let me tell you, there's not a story we can tell where God didn't show up for us. And no matter how we were frightened, and no matter how we tried to control, and how, no matter how we tried to manipulate the process, guess what? It wasn't nothing we can do, because until it's our time. See, there's a divine time through the divine storm. But we have to trust the process. And so today, I want you to wake up, no matter where you are in your divine process, and just say, I trust. Even if you haven't paid your mortgage in 5 years, 10 years, if you haven't paid your rent and you're thinking that you're going to get it, whatever's happening in your life right now, just thank God. I trust. Because God said, what? I will never leave nor forsake you. Trust in the divine soul. That's my message today, and I hope that this blessed your soul as much as it blessed my soul when I heard her speak. Even if I didn't hear nothing else, trust in the struggle. That right there was enough for me to think. Thank you, God. Pray for you. Nothing but blessings and goodness shall fall upon your life. And that whatever needs to be released from our experience, from our thought patterns, that we surrender it to God right now and stop trying to control, manipulate, and think that we know when God knows, our higher self knows. Come and allow the presence of God to lead you, guide you into your place of blessing on this day. I pray that you will heed the word and trust in the divine process of the storm. I love you, reminding you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. And I want to remind you to choose love, because love really is the only choice. And as I remind you to live your God-sized dream and not just dream them, you've been tuned into the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, your daily lover. Have a phenomenal day, family. This is Mesa.
At this point in my life, I just want to have fun. And I want to be free. Spiritually, I have grown. And I know I have a long way to go. But what I do know right now, God is amazing, and the universe is amazing, and there's so much out there for all of us, that we never have to worry and shed a tear, and I'm looking forward to the rest of my life. As I grew, oh.
Mm-hmm.